The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, I'm Derek Frost for the North Carolina Reading Service. For the next hour, I'll be reading from the Triangle Business Journal. And we'll start with the cover story headline, Lifelines Ahead. The Triangle status as a biotech epicenter could be riding on three key FDA approvals. And the article written by Zach Ezone begins inside the Triangle Business Journal with a second headline, Hope for a Sector. Three FDA approvals could recharge Triangle Biotech. BioCryst Pharmaceuticals was founded in 1986 in a lab at the University of Alabama at Birmingham. After years of operating in Alabama, the company in 2010 decided to move its headquarters to Durham, where it already had an office. In late 2020, the U.S. Food and Drug Administration approved the company's lead drug, ORLADEYO, as a treatment for the prevention of hereditary angioedema, a rare disorder characterized by episodes of severe swelling, for patients 12 and older. The company believes ORLADEYO could reach blockbuster status, with peak global sales reaching $1 billion. BioCryst's journey may well be an anomaly by many measures. It is one of the few companies headquartered in the Triangle that has been commercially successful. Of late, a commercially successful life sciences company is a rarity in the Triangle. Over the years, many Triangle companies have gone public only to get delisted because of anemic stock activity. Companies that went a little further with the FDA approval process were quickly gobbled up by large pharmas, with research and operational jobs either cut or relocated elsewhere. The biotech life sciences sector generates a lot of jobs and generates a lot of revenue, says Marcus Saba, a professor at the UNC Center for the Business of Health. The other elements of the industry would also grow even more if we had this operational piece as well, he says. Saba, who spent more than two decades at Eli Lilly and Company, says about 50 students a year earn MBAs from UNC Chapel Hill with concentrations in healthcare. They often want to remain in the Triangle, but many end up leaving to pursue opportunities that are not available locally. In recent years, the primary investments in the local industry have focused on manufacturing. Drug companies with headquarters elsewhere, like the Danish pharma giant Novo Nordisk, have invested billions to expand manufacturing facilities in the state, which have added thousands of jobs. The state has intentionally put resources in workforce development programs at universities like NC State University or NC Central University to build out this workforce. Establishing those training facilities has set us up for where we are today, says Laura Rowley, Vice President of Life Sciences Economic Development for NC Biotech. We're companies that come into our market, they're impressed by the coordination, by the scale, and by the quality of the training infrastructure that we have. Aside from the massive manufacturing facilities, North Carolina has a strong history with contract research organizations, the companies that drug developers turn to for support in clinical trials. The state also has a growing research and development segment, but most of it is made up of companies with small teams of fewer than 20 people. We don't have the big pharma companies like the GSK, which we used to have, says David Ridley, a health economist at Duke University. But what we can hope is that some of our companies will grow up to be that and stay. Humacyte, Liquidia, and Verona Pharma are all small to mid-sized public companies that have recently received or are awaiting FDA approvals for their lead products. These are drugs with years and hundreds of millions of dollars worth of development supporting them. Securing these FDA approvals and transitioning to commercial organizations will go a long way to determining the success of their respective organizations. And on a broader level, the future of these types of companies will also play a crucial role in the future of the state's life sciences industry. Humacyte. In August, a 20-year journey for Dr. Laura Nicholson could reach a major milestone. As a postdoc at the Massachusetts Institute of Technology in the 1990s, Nicholson began her work of growing bioengineered arteries that could be used in humans. She continued this work after moving to North Carolina in 1998 to become an assistant professor at Duke University. This work served as the foundation for Humacyte, a biotechnology company that spun out of Duke in 2005. Right from the beginning, we had sort of a bold vision that we would use human cells in a manufacturing process to essentially grow spare parts for people, new blood vessels, Nicholson says. Nicholson remained actively involved in the company while working at Yale University until becoming CEO of Humacyte in 2020. The company was juggling multiple critical objectives at the time. Humacyte had a couple of phase 3 clinical trials underway. The company was scaling up its manufacturing process, and it was considering a financial deal to go public, a process it completes in August 2021. Every professor or biomedical scientist that works on clinically relevant things always dreams of bringing their inventions to patients, getting something on the market and approved, Nicholson says. As a part of its public financing, Humacyte raised about $250 million, which was critical for completing ongoing Phase 3 clinical trials. This includes a lead program focused on using the company's technology called acellular tissue-engineered vessels in patients with vascular trauma injuries. With positive data from a late-stage clinical study and a humanitarian effort in Ukraine, where surgeons used Humacyte's vessels to treat nearly 20 patients injured in the ongoing war, Humacyte in December filed a biologics license application with the FDA, seeking approval for the use of its technology in this first indication. The FDA is set to decide on its approval by August 10. With this first indication, Humacyte is targeting patients who require some sort of major vascular repair after sustaining a traumatic injury, like being shot with a gun or hurt in a car accident. The company estimates there are about 26,000 such injuries in the U.S. per year, where a patient requires a new replacement blood vessel. Humacyte operates an 83,000-square-foot manufacturing facility in Durham that would support its commercial launch this year, pending approval in August. The site could expand to 40,000 vessels annually upon additional FDA approvals. While it has relocated 3 times, Humacyte has always remained in Durham. Part of the reason the company has remained is the access to talent, Nicholson says. While the company could soon be a commercial-stage company, Humacyte is an R&D company at its core. We need to be close to a lot of intellectual talent, both from universities but also from neighboring companies, Nicholson says. Additionally, the cost of building a biotech company in North Carolina is much less than in places like Boston or the Bay Area. Humacyte has spent more than $700 million over the past 20 years developing its technology and advancing its pipeline. That number would be much higher in other parts of the country. We figured out how to grow human spare parts from scratch, and we did it for $700 million, so we're a bargain, Nicholson says. But we couldn't have done that if we'd been in a much more expensive location. Still, $700 million is a lot of capital to deploy, and the company is reaching a crucial inflection point with the upcoming FDA decision. Nicholson describes Humacyte's technology as a platform that can be adapted for many uses. For instance, the company expects to have top-line results in the third quarter of a Phase 3 study evaluating its vessels in patients who have kidney failure and are on dialysis. Behind arteries for vascular conditions, Nicholson sees further potential uses for its technology, including growing airways or parts of the intestinal tract. I really see this as just the beginning of what Humacyte may be able to do, Nicholson says. I feel a tremendous commitment to all those investors who believed in us for so long to bring this to market and show the market what it can do. And that, for me, is really job one now. Verona Pharma. Verona Pharma has not always been a local company. It was originally founded in the United Kingdom, but set up a headquarters in Raleigh after a major overhaul in leadership. The pharmaceutical company in early 2020 appointed David Zaccardelli as its CEO and Mark Hahn as its chief financial officer. Both have years of experience working with companies in the Triangle. Zaccardelli began his career at Burroughs Wellcome and Company and later held several senior management roles at United Therapeutics, including chief operating officer. He was also the CEO of Durham based Dova Pharmaceuticals prior to the firm's acquisition of Swedish Orphan BioVitrum for up to $915 million in late 2019. Hahn previously worked with Zaccardelli at both Dova and another local company called Sempra, which merged in 2017 following a regulatory setback with Melinta Therapeutics. Most of the employee base is in Raleigh as we have grown the company with that focus over the past several years, Zaccardelli says. And of course, the incredible pharmaceutical talent in the Raleigh area lends itself to that. Verona last year began expanding its presence in the Triangle, subleasing about 32,000 square feet of office space on Six Forks Road in Raleigh. This was more than triple the size of Verona's previous local office space. Zaccardelli joined Verona at a critical time. The company was preparing to move its lead product, a drug called ensifentrine, into two pivotal phase 3 studies. Positive results from these studies led to Verona last year filing a new drug application with the FDA for the drug's approval. The FDA accepted this application and on June 26 approved Verona's inhaled maintenance treatment for chronic obstructive pulmonary disease in adult patients. Verona believes its product, marketed as Ohtuvayr, that's spelled Ohtuvayre, has the potential to change the treatment paradigm for chronic obstructive pulmonary disease. The company describes the treatment, which is delivered through a nebulizer, as the first inhaled product with a novel mechanism of action available for COPD patients in more than 20 years. There are 8.6 million COPD patients in the U.S. receiving maintenance treatment for the lung disease, but 50% of those patients remain symptomatic despite receiving therapy. This leaves more than 4 million patients who could potentially benefit from Ohtuvayr, Zaccardelli says. There's really a pent-up unmet medical need that exists, Zaccardelli says. Even modest penetration of a 4 million patient population leads to a really blockbuster drug. Some market analyst groups believe Ohtuvayr has significant potential in the market. Evaluate Pharma estimates that 2028 sales of the drug could reach $784 million, making it one of this year's most anticipated drug launches. But with the FDA approval out of the way, the process of reaching these lofty expectations is just beginning. The company has been ramping up its sales staff and has grown to about 200 employees. Verona is also well capitalized to support this launch with cash of about $254.9 million at the end of March. Verona expects to launch Ohtuvayr in the third quarter through an exclusive network of accredited specialty pharmacies. The company is pricing the treatment at $2,950 per month. But Verona could soon see some competition from two major drug companies. Regeneron Pharmaceuticals and Sanofi are pursuing their jointly developed monoclonal antibody Dupixent, which is already approved for asthma as a COPD treatment. The European Medicines Agency on July 3rd approved Dupixent for adults with uncontrolled COPD who are already receiving a combination of treatments. The FDA is supposed to make its decision in September. However, Verona appears to be unconcerned. Dupixent has been studied in a much narrower COPD patient population than the one Verona aims to address. The indication that we've been seeking all along is for the maintenance treatment of COPD, Zaccardelli said prior to the FDA's final decision. It's a very broad indication that would apply to really the whole spectrum of the patients that are available for treatment in COPD. Aside from COPD, Zaccardelli says the company's compound ensifentrine can be utilized in various respiratory diseases. This includes conditions like asthma and cystic fibrosis. The company is also looking at the potential of the drug to be used alongside a combination of treatments. This would open avenues to other indications that could increase the value of ensifentrine, and the company, which has a market cap of $1.7 billion as of July 16, more broadly. With these other potential possibilities, a lot is riding on a successful launch of Verona's first product launch. Liquidia. The technology at the center of Liquidia started in a place familiar to local pharma companies, a lab at UNC Chapel Hill. The company is built around its PRINT technology, which was developed by Joseph DeSimone, a material scientist who founded Liquidia and spun it out of the university in 2004. Liquidia Chief Business Officer Jason Adair says the company's technology allows for precise drug particle engineering. Adair compares the process to making ice cubes in an ice cube tray, except Liquidia is working on the nano and micro scale. For its first decade or so, Liquidia worked on validating and scaling its technology. It also found opportunities to partner with large pharma companies on different types of drugs, including small molecules and antibodies. What is really unique about PRINT technology is it is not inherently limited, Adair says. As a result, we've worked in different routes of delivery. We've worked in many different diseases. Liquidia was operating as a services company, but it was grappling with how to build a long-term viable business model from this business from the model. Ultimately, we were making something for someone else, and that is a harder business, Adair says. If PRINT technology is truly imparting value to the product, then why don't we figure out how to keep that value to our shareholders? So in 2016, Liquidia made a strategic shift and began building out its pipeline and products. The company ultimately focused its efforts around developing an inhaled dry powder formulation of the drug treprostinil. That's spelled T-R-E-P-R-O-S-T-I-N-I-L. This is a drug that's already approved under the brand name Tyvaso, T-Y-V-A-S-O, developed by the United Therapeutics for the treatment of pulmonary arterial hypertension, or PAH. Following positive clinical studies, the company in 2020 filed a new drug application seeking approval for its PAH treatment called Yutrepia. That's spelled Y-U-T-R-E-P-I-A. The FDA in September 2021 granted Liquidia tentative approval of Yutrepia for PAH, but it could not grant final approval due to an ongoing lawsuit that United, which has operations here in the Triangle, filed against Liquidia in 2020. United claimed that Liquidia's drug would infringe patients related to its marketed therapy, Tyvaso. There's a lot at stake in this legal battle. United reported sales from Tyvaso, including its nebulized and a dry powder formulation, in the first quarter of $372.5 million. This is up from $238.4 million at the same time last year. Over the past few years, Liquidia has navigated multiple lawsuits, court rulings, and appeals as the lengthy and complicated legal process plays out. Additionally, amid this dispute, Liquidia appointed Roger Jeffs, a former co-CEO at United, as its chief executive. While this legal process held up Liquidia's launch of Yutrepia, the company began building a commercial presence through its acquisition of RareGen, which had a genetic treprostinil product. Strategically, what we said was, while we're waiting on the NDA review, we need to build commercial capability where we can acquire data, Adair says. It gave us an immediate reason to build the reputation of Liquidia in the offices of physicians and key stakeholders. Following multiple court decisions that went in Liquidia's favor earlier this year, as of April, there are effectively no legal barriers preventing the FDA from approving Yutrepia. But the federal agency has not yet issued a final decision. The FDA is facing its own legal challenges from United, which sued the FDA earlier this year for accepting a filing from Liquidia to expand the use of Yutrepia to pulmonary hypertension associated with interstitial lung disease, or PHILD. As for the reason behind the FDA holdup, Adair declines to speculate, but he says the company is ready for a commercial launch whenever the final approval comes in. If and when the approval comes, Adair says Liquidia is poised for tremendous growth. During an earnings call earlier this year, CEO Roger Jeffs said the company believes the market for inhaled treprostinil in PAH and PHILD can exceed $3 billion at peak sales. Liquidia has added capital to support a launch, including closing two transactions in January that generated an additional $100 million of gross proceeds. Liquidia has also added 80 employees over the past year. Following FDA approval, the company could also look to expand its 45,000-square-foot facility in Morrisville. "We have been fighting for our chance to prove that our product matters," Adair says. "We have a technology that is not inherently limited, and if we can get into the right business model, we can start building on this, and that's the excitement." And now in the Triangle Business Journal, we turn to Biz, a quick glance at Triangle happenings written by Dane Huffman. New tenant for former ACC home, development group takes over building that once housed the ACC. An empty reminder of Greensboro's loss of the Atlantic Coast Conference has a new owner. Winfield Properties, a Jamestown development and property management group, has purchased the former ACC headquarters near the Grandover Resort. An affiliate of the company purchased the building for $1.87 million, according to records with the Guilford County Register of Deeds office. The building has been empty for 10 months after the ACC moved to Charlotte. The ACC has been based in Greensboro. Since its founding in 1953. Winfield President Craig Stone says the company will move about 50 of its leadership-level employees from its current 3,984-square-foot office in Jamestown to the 24,245-square-foot building at 4512 Weybridge Lane in Greensboro. Stone grew up in the Triad and realizes the ACC's important heritage to the market. We ask to keep some of the memorabilia in the office, and we'll maintain that, Stone says. We want to be good stewards of the building and take it forward. Greensboro will get the ACC men's basketball tournament in 2027 and 2029. Home builders see a surge in interest. A North Carolina group that represents home builders was recently lauded for its membership growth. Back in the Great Recession, the North Carolina Home Builders Association saw membership plummet from 18,000 to 12,000, but that has grown steadily since then. Recently, the North Carolina group won three awards from the National Association of Home Builders for its membership growth, having the highest numerical increase, percentage increase, and retention rate increase. Major bridge replacement gets a boost in Wilmington. A sizable federal grant will fund the replacement of a vital bridge that serves as a key artery into Wilmington. A $242 million grant from the U.S. Department of Transportation will go toward replacing the Cape Fear Memorial Bridge, a project that could end up costing around half a billion dollars. The vertical lift bridge opened in 1969. It stretches 3,000 feet and sees around 70,000 cars daily crossing the Cape Fear River. But that number is expected to surge to 100,000 by 2050 as the wider Wilmington area grows rapidly. Project Kitty Hawk, nonprofit, looks to get former students back. A nonprofit with major backing from the state says it has helped bring more than 1,700 former students back to schools in the University of North Carolina system. Project Kitty Hawk, which received $97 million from state lawmakers in 2021, launched a program last year focused on contacting former students of system schools who began college but never finished their degrees. Since launching this re-enrollment program in May 2023, the organization says it has helped 1,791 people return to a state university to finish their degrees. Project Kitty Hawk has reached out to more than 102,000 former students of the 10 participating universities. Of that number, the organization has identified more than 8,800 qualified students who have taken some sort of action toward returning to school, like meeting with a coach or filling out a form. And finally, in Selma, railroad milestones celebrated. A Johnston County town is gearing up to celebrate its railroad station turning 100. The town of Selma will be celebrating the 100th anniversary of its Union Station on July 20. Built in 1924 at 500 East Railroad Street, the train station saw just shy of 14,000 Amtrak riders last year per the town. The train hosts two Amtrak train lines that go in each direction daily, the Palmetto from New York to Savannah, Georgia, and the Carolinian from New York to Charlotte. Festivities during the weekend will include a celebration dinner, a tour, music, and more. Earlier this year, Amtrak, the town, and the North Carolina Department of Transportation completed a 325-foot-long concrete platform with lighting, guardrails, and siding at the train station. The improvements cost $2.5 million. And now we turn to the top stories in the Triangle Business Journal, starting with an article written by Ben Tobin. Japanese firm to create 232 jobs in Greenville. Investment by company with global reach will hit the $400 million mark. A Japanese company that manufactures medical equipment is looking to invest hundreds of millions of dollars in a new factory that would create hundreds of jobs in Greenville. Nipro announced July 17 a roughly $400 million investment that will create 232 jobs in Greenville in Pitt County. This will be the company's first manufacturing plant in North Carolina and fifth in the United States. The company, headquartered in Osaka, Japan, has two facilities in New Jersey, one in Virginia, and one in Indiana. The move comes after the Pitt County Board of Commissioners voted in a June 17 meeting to approve economic development incentives for Project Bluefin. At the time, Kelly Andrews, Pitt County's economic development director, described it as a new industrial recruitment project in a key industry for Pitt County, life sciences. A public notice for the meeting said that the project would be an approximately $400 million investment that would create 232 jobs. Quote, with an average salary above the county's current median average wage of $50,937, unquote. The county's incentives package included an economic development grant equal to 70% of the net increase in ad valorem taxes paid by the company over a 7-year period for a 2-phase project with a cap of $9 million. as well as the conveyance of county-owned land, a 130-acre vacant parcel at the intersection of Martin Luther King Jr. Highway and Old Creek Road. State incentives total more than $2.4 million. Founded in 1954, NIPRO has dozens of manufacturing plants and offices worldwide, employing more than 38,000 people. The company manufactures a wide array of products, from glass tubes to generic drugs to packaging equipment. Of its global markets, the Americas is the fastest growing for the company, according to its annual report. Net sales increased by 25.4% compared with the previous fiscal year to roughly $734.6 million. Candy maker to invest in Orange County. Japanese company Morinaga plans to create 200 jobs. And this is written by Natalie Braden and David Pertell. Japanese candy company Morinaga is planning to expand its North Carolina operations in a big way in Orange County. Morinaga will invest approximately $136 million to build a second production facility in Mebane, where the company has had a facility for nearly a decade making its high chew brand of fruit chew products. The company, which trades on the Tokyo Stock Exchange, filed a notice July 16 saying it plans to construct a second U.S. factory in Mebane that will total around 132,000 square feet. Construction is scheduled to start in October, with the facility coming online in early 2027, according to the company document. The company plans to create 204 new jobs with the expansion, officials said. The positions will include roles in production, maintenance, and support staff, and quality control. The average annual salary for the positions will be about $67,000, according to the company. Morinaga's current site in Mebane is along Interstate 4084 on the southeast side of town. The 120,000-square-foot production facility started operation in 2015 as part of a $48 million investment. The company was awarded state and local incentives that required it to hire at least 90 full-time employees by 2018. Morinaga's U.S. operation, Morinaga American Foods Incorporated, is based in Irvine, California. The company's global headquarters is in Tokyo. In its notice on July 16, the company, which did around $1.2 billion in net sales in its fiscal 2023, said the Mebane expansion is part of its 2030 business plan as the company aims to grow its U.S. sales of Hi-Chew. Sales of Hi-Chew in the U.S. have seen year-over-year growth over 20% annually since 2018, the document says, reaching around $120 million in fiscal 2023. While the non-chocolate candy market in the U.S. is forecasted to continue growing, the company aims to achieve growth for Hi-Chew that outpaces the market, the company says. The new Mebane facility will strengthen the company's supply system and increase production efficiency, Morinaga says. Hub RTP to add another apartment building. This is written by Kaylee Thompson. Hub RTP continues to grow as the push to remake Research Triangle Park into a live-work-play environment continues. Mid-America Apartments, or MAA, has filed new site plans for a four-story apartment building that wraps a parking deck. The apartments will be next to the Wells Fargo branch inside Research Triangle Park. There will be 225 units with 9 studio apartments, 134 one-bedroom units, and 82 two-bedroom units. Some of the units will have balconies or patios. Site plans show there will be an interior swimming pool and courtyard. There will also be a clubhouse with a fitness center, dog spa, co-working space, and shared conference room. The top floor will have a rooftop terrace. Cost of the development and timeline are unclear, as MAA did not return requests for comment. The parking garage will have 348 spaces, and part of the apartment building will front Boxyard RTP, which recently added new retail tenants. The apartment building will be at 1050 Hitchings Way, which is a 3.31-acre tract. It is currently vacant and has an assessed value of $661,800. Growing firm in Cary joins Colliers affiliate. This is written by Kate Tracy. An architecture firm with a triangle presence is joining forces with another firm, Phase Zero Design Corporation, which has offices in Cary as well as Massachusetts and Connecticut, has merged with Colliers Engineering and Design. Based in New Jersey, Colliers is an affiliate of the real estate and investment firm Colliers. Phase Zero Design will rebrand to Colliers Engineering and Design later this year. Phase Zero has 7 employees at its Cary office. Lindsay Corsino, associate principal, says everything will remain status quo at the Carey office located at 128 Tower View Court. The architecture firm established its presence in the Triangle about 2 years ago. Phase Zero is looking to bring on an additional 3 to 5 people by the end of the year, Corsino says. We came into Carey with hopes of penetrating the market. We think there's so much growth happening, and now strengthening with the merger is going to be great, Corsino says. Founded in 2009, Phase Zero Design works with academic, healthcare, hospitality, residential, office, and retail clients. And our next article is also written by Kate Tracy. Carey firm makes $350 million acquisition. Pest protection company Envu used to be a part of Bayer. A Carey company that's pacing for $900 million in revenue this year has made a significant acquisition to fuel its growth. Pest protection company Envu, that's E-N-V-U, plans to purchase Global Specialty Solutions from FMC Corporation for $350 million. Envu makes a variety of environmental science products, including products that manage turf, vegetation, mosquitoes, and other pests. GSS makes pest control products used for golf courses, lawn care, sports stadiums, and other outdoor environments. FMC decided to sell GSS because it is focusing more on global crop protection products rather than the non-crop markets where GSS is active. Envu CEO Giles Galiu says Envu has been working on the deal for several months. It's a competitive process, and there were surely several different bidders, he says. Envu's revenue last year was $850 million, with the goal for 2024 being $900 million. The company has 900 employees worldwide, with approximately 200 located in Carey. GSS is a strategic investment for Envu because the two companies share similar goals, products, and markets, including golf courses, lawn care, and professional pest and mosquito management. Galiu also says that GSS uses active ingredients that make their solutions different from Envu's, which he said opens many doors to innovation. We're diversifying our assets in terms of customers, in terms of products, but also innovation and supply. And that's a very easy strategy, strategic move for us, he says. GSS has a team of approximately 55 employees, with a small team in Philadelphia and other employees around the country and world. Galiu expects that some Philadelphia employees will relocate to Carey. He says it's too early to determine whether any layoffs will occur as a result of the deal. Whatever we do with the organizations, we are known to be extremely respectful and fair and caring, and we'll do it under those values, he says. In 2020, Bayer sold its environmental science business unit to Cinven, a private equity firm, for $2.6 billion. Envu is the company that formed out of that transaction. Envu's main headquarters and research center is at 5000 Center Green Way off Weston Parkway. The company also has a research and development facility in Clayton and a formulation site in Mooresville. Pending regulatory approvals, the acquisition is expected to close by the end of the year. And now moving into the reporter pages in the Triangle Business Journal, we'll start with Kate Tracy's page, Retail and Restaurants. New Cane Project lands first tenant, yoga studio signs up for platform development in downtown Raleigh. Emily Winters started practicing yoga at the age of 15. Now, 18 years later, she's ready for the biggest stretch yet, opening her own studio. Winters is the first retail tenant for Cane Realty's platform development at 600 West Cabarrus Street in downtown Raleigh. She's leasing a 2,500 square foot space. Early next year, she plans to open Homebody Yoga and Wellness. She was attracted to the space because of the walkability of the neighborhood, the large warehouse-style windows at the space, and the central courtyard. It really felt meant to be in a way because it was the first space that I looked at, but it was everything that I'd been looking for, so it's just worked out really well, Winter says. Platform is a 7-story building with 442 apartments and 26,000 square feet of ground floor retail. The project is part of Kane's West End development at the former site of the headquarters for Clancy and Thays Construction Company. Winters went to high school in Richmond, Virginia, and completed her yoga teacher training 6 years ago in Minneapolis and moved to Raleigh in 2020. She taught at a studio for 3 years here. She has also been hosting pop-up yoga classes in September. To help with the build-out of the new yoga studio, she launched a crowdfunding campaign that raised $50,000 in 6 weeks. This is my baby. I've been able to build relationships with people who believe in the vision that I have and have been super, super, super supportive, and I'm so grateful for it, Winter says. She plans to hire between 7 to 10 employees once she opens and will host about 4 classes per day. Unlimited memberships will cost about $130 per month with some planned exceptions. I want yoga to be more accessible for everyone. I don't want people to be priced out of it, so I'd love to do a scholarship fund or something like that so that I can offer discounted memberships to people, she says. Car Wash in Holly Springs sells for $3.6 million. A car wash in Holly Springs sold for millions of dollars, highlighting the rising value of property in southwest Wake County. Finn's Car Wash, located at 100 Collins Meadows Drive along Highway 55, sold for $3.56 million to Essential Properties based in Princeton, New Jersey. The property is 2 acres and has an assessed value of $2.7 million. AAA Car Wash, affiliated with the Whistle Express Car Wash brand based in Charlotte, signed a 20-year lease with the new owners with options to extend the term. Per Wake County Property Records, the car wash is the only Finn's car wash in the Triangle. Finn's has locations in the Triad and Wilmington, in addition to car washes in South Carolina as well. Essential Properties focuses on buying properties with tenants that include restaurants, car washes, car shops, convenience stores, fitness studios, medical services, early childhood education, and more. The company has nearly 2,000 properties in 48 states, according to its website. Essential Properties lists 72 properties it owns in North Carolina, compared to 227 in Texas, 157 in Georgia, 138 in Ohio, and 89 in Florida. And finally, Durham Shopping Center heads to auction. A retail center in North Durham is headed for auction. Willowdale Shopping Center, located at 3823 Guest Road, will be up for sale during an online auction. The receivership sale will be held July 29 through 31, and the starting bid is $2.2 million. Jay Taylor and Justin Wilson with SVN Tar Heel Commercial Realty are facilitating the receivership sale and have been touring potential buyers at the property. Sherry Mascatelli with 10X is the auction advisor. Property records list ML and UK Palm LLC as the owner of the shopping center. That LLC is based in Brooklyn, New York, and the LLC's manager is Meyer Leibovitz, also based in Brooklyn. The owners of the shopping center borrowed a $6.8 million loan from Rialto Mortgage Finance in 2018 following the purchase of the property in 2017. The loan went into special servicing in September 2021, according to loan data, and the borrower defaulted under terms of the agreement. In October 2022, the Durham County Superior Court appointed Greg Williams, based in California, as receiver to oversee and manage the property. Now we turn to Ben Tobin's page on the Greater Triangle. Waffle House buys land in Sanford. No timeline yet on construction of the chain's second spot in the town. As a booming Lee County city continues to grow, national chains are taking note and injecting capital with new projects. In the latest example of this, restaurant chain Waffle House bought a vacant lot that spans just shy of half an acre for $395,000 at the end of June, according to Lee County deed records. The land sits near the intersection of U.S. 1 Highway and Tramway Road. This would be Sanford's second Waffle House. The move has been some time coming. In September 2023, the breakfast chain submitted plans to the Sanford-Lee County Broadway Technical Review Committee for a new location that would be approximately 2,200 square feet. Walter Barineau, a real estate representative for Waffle House, confirms the purchase but declines to share information on when the store will be built and how many people it will employ. We have purchased the land, Barineau says. Still no schedule for construction. Founded in 1955 and headquartered in the Atlanta metropolitan area, Waffle House has more than 2,000 locations across the country and is focused on the Southeast. The company has more than 100 locations in North Carolina, including one in Sanford at 2621 South Horner Boulevard. The company targets high traffic areas. Waffle House is the latest national chain investing in Sanford, which has a population of more than 32,000, according to estimates from the U.S. Census Bureau. Triangle Business Journal reported in February that Del Taco, a fast food chain from California serving Mexican cuisine, filed plans to build a 2,021 square foot restaurant with a drive-thru at 3116 South Horner Boulevard, according to documents for a February meeting of the Sanford Lee County Technical Review Board. Del Taco does not presently have any North Carolina locations. A store in Durham has a planned opening for September. And in Wayne County, Cookout adds property in Goldsboro. Restaurant chain Cookout may soon be adding another location in Goldsboro. Cookout Goldsboro Incorporated, a group tied to the fast food chain headquartered in Thomasville, purchased property in Goldsboro off Wayne Memorial Drive for a little more than $2 million this month, according to Wayne County deed records. A relatively new car wash called Rocket Wash sits on the property, but a large portion of the four-acre site remains undeveloped. Representatives for the company did not respond to requests seeking comment. Cookout currently has one location in Goldsboro at 432 North Berkeley Boulevard. The company recently acquired a shuttered Boston Market location in North Raleigh. Custom home builder eyes Pittsboro area. A Chapel Hill company has spent millions on more than 100 acres in a growing North Carolina county, and new homes will soon follow. Hamlets Reserve LLC, which is tied to the Bold Companies, purchased the 109 acres off Hamlets Chapel Hill Road in the northern part of Chatham County for a little more than $2.4 million this month, according to Chatham County deed records. The land is zoned for residential use. We plan to develop it into approximately 40 residential lots that will be 1 to 5 acres each, says Chris Ehrenfield, owner of the Bold Companies. Ehrenfield says the homes will sell for more than $1 million and will be ready for purchase in 2026. The land is north of Pittsboro and across Highway 501 from the Farrington area. The 501 corridor between Pittsboro and Chapel Hill is filling in fast with commercial and residential development, including the huge Mosaic project, the commercial entrance to Chatham Park. With relatively cheap land and approximately and proximity to the core of the Research Triangle, Chatham County has seen droves of new residents. As of July 2023, the county's population sat at 81,624, according to estimates from the U.S. Census Bureau. That's up from 76,285 in 2020 and 63,505 in 2010. And finally, in Wilson County, tobacco firm spends $31 million on 130 acres. A major tobacco manufacturer has spent tens of millions of dollars to acquire properties in Wilson County. TRP Properties, an LLC tied to Tobacco Rag Processors of Wilson, spent more than $31 million on roughly 130 acres in the county, according to two separate Wilson County deeds posted at the end of last month. Representatives of Tobacco Rag Processors declined to comment on the purchases. Established in 2001, Tobacco Rag Processors is the largest independent cut rag manufacturer in North America, according to the website. The company says it has more than 230 employees. It has a large facility south of Wilson outside the town of Black Creek. The facility at 4737 Yank Road was one of the properties the company acquired. The other properties, which appear to be storage or growing facilities, the company purchased are at 134 Ward Boulevard, 1000 Phillips Street South, 600 Park Avenue West, and 2105 Black Creek Road Southeast. And now we turn to the real estate and development page written by Kaylee Thompson. Downtown Cary to add new condos. Project will rise 7 stories, the tallest in Cary's booming downtown. A luxury condominium building planned for downtown Cary would set a new standard for height as the town continues to explode with growth and new developments. Gala Investments LLC, a Cary investment firm, has filed new site plans for The Franklin, a 7-story condo building that would be the tallest building downtown at more than 70 feet. The Franklin will be on Walker Street with views of the downtown Cary Park. It'll have 40 for sale condos with prices from $375,000 for a 1-bedroom unit to $715,000 for a 3-bedroom unit. The pricing is on the same level as the new down home-style condos called Walker Row under construction near the park and library. At 7 stories, the Franklin will be 1 story taller than the Walker, a luxury apartment community across next to the park. The building would be 73 feet tall and have 10 one-bedroom units, 20 two-bedroom units, and 10 three-bedroom units. Gala Investments describes the units as modern luxury with clean, fine lines and high-end finishes. Gurang Greg Gala, CEO of Gala Investments, says his vision is to continue what the developers behind the Walker started, which is a taller skyline for Cary. One-bedroom units at the Franklin will be 750 square feet, while the larger two-bedroom units will be 1,230 square feet, and three-bedroom units, 1,430 square feet. There will be a private rooftop terrace for the condo owners, and the first floor will have 2,500 square feet of retail space that Gala envisions a cafe-type business or coffee shop leasing. He says La Farma Bakery is his first choice, and he's been in talks with co-proprietor Missy Vatnay. The plan is still in the site review process with the town, but Gala hopes to break ground in August 2025 with a 24-month construction timeline. The development is estimated to cost $19.8 million. See, at Dick's Park, first tower in $700 million development tops out. The first tower for a large mixed-use project near Dick's Park in Raleigh is on the rise. Real estate firms SLI Capital and Mac Real Estate Group have topped out the first of two 20-story towers in Phase 1 of The Weld, a $700 million development along Lake Wheeler Road. The building, named The Holston, will hold 283 apartments and ground floor retail along with an elevated swimming pool, fitness center, co-working space, and sky lounge on the 20th floor. There will be 1, 2, and 3-bedroom units, with residents moving in next summer. The second building, named Ray, will top out this fall and have 392 units. Its amenities will be a swimming pool, fitness center, club rooms, and a sky lounge, among others. SLI Capital Managing Partner Brian Kane says some of the retail space will be food and beverage retailers. No leases have been signed yet since it's still early, but Kane says the developers want to make sure they choose the right retailers to lead off the project as the first phase has such a small amount of retail. The developers are still working through the site design and permitting process for the second phase, a 20-story tower with 20,000 square feet of ground floor retail and 525 residential units. Kane anticipates a groundbreaking in 2025. And finally, inside the Beltline, land near Carolina Country Club nets big price. An undeveloped property inside the Beltline near Carolina Country Club in Raleigh has sold for more than $1 million per acre. The land, totaling 9.64 acres, sold for $10.425 million to custom home builder Lloyd Builders, according to Wake County deed records. The home builder acquired the land from an LLC with a Madison Avenue address in New York City connected to multiple investment firms. Trademark Properties President Amy Carroll says the property was advertised to a selected list of buyers and that multiple offers came in. The seller chose Lloyd Builders because of their ability to successfully build high-end homes in the area for more than 20 years and because their plan for the property was less dense than other proposals. Lloyd Builders' plan is being reviewed by the City of Raleigh. The plan shows 11 lots ranging from 0.45 to 1.38 acres. Trip Lloyd, owner of Lloyd Builder, says the custom homes will start above $5 million. The property hit the market in early 2023 without an asking price, although the listing on Redfin initially showed a price of nearly $12 million. The five parcels, 2710, 2714, 2718, 2722, and 2730 Toxie Drive, have a combined assessed value of about $6.2 million. The best thing about the property is, one, the location, and two, it's a beautiful piece of property surrounded by a lot of natural area, which is rare in the Beltline, Lloyd says. And our final reporter page is written by Zach Ezone, Healthcare and Life Sciences. Raleigh firm expands with $185 million deal. MERS Therapeutics acquires assets from struggling New York firm. Fresh off a major acquisition, a global pharmaceutical company could pursue additional deals as it expands its Raleigh operations. MERS Therapeutics' recent acquisition of two commercial drugs was part of a growth plan put in place by CEO Stefan Koenig, who joined the company in March 2023. Koenig wants the company to become a leading player in neurology-focused specialty pharmaceuticals. Its flagship product in this space is Xeomin, spelled X-E-O-M-I-N, which is approved for multiple indications such as dystonia and spasticity, both of which are movement disorders. MERS is a German company with different business units focused on aesthetics, therapeutics, and consumer care. MERS Aesthetics and the North American affiliate of MERS Therapeutics are based in Raleigh. Under Koenig, MERS is looking to accelerate growth, including expanding Xeomin into other indications. Koenig says they are pursuing clinical trials focused on both neuropathic pain and migraines. The growth strategy also led to the acquisition of a multiple sclerosis treatment called Ampyra, A-M-P-Y-R-A, and a Parkinson's disease drug called Inbrija, I-N-B-R-I-J-A. The company acquired the assets for $185 million from Acorda Therapeutics, a New York company that filed for bankruptcy earlier this year. The deal was approved in June. Acorda reported net product revenue of about $102.4 million from the sales of Ampyra and Inbrija. While the company Acorda has been distressed financially, those products commercially, clinically, scientifically are very successful and many patients need them, Koenig says. The Acorda organization, to my understanding, has accumulated a lot of debt, but it's not attributable to Ampyra and Inbrija. Koenig says MERS is a movement disorder specialist through its lead product, Xeomin, and this acquisition builds on that focus. Both products make a ton of sense because they compete not with Xeomin, but they compete on top of Xeomin in a very similar space, and they have great customer overlap, he says. Through the acquisition, MERS Therapeutics plans to grow its U.S. workforce by 50% and add another 30 employees based in Raleigh. The company, headquartered off Six Forks Road in North Raleigh, is expanding its local office footprint from 18,000 square feet to 30,000 square feet. Cary firm lands grant to diversify clinical trials. The federal government has selected a contract research organization in the Triangle to lead a multi-million-dollar project focused on making clinical research more diverse. The Biomedical Advanced Research and Development Authority selected Allucent for a project that aims to enhance the capabilities of decentralized clinical trials to support the development of medical countermeasures. This is a five-year project. A federal spending database identifies a potential award amount of $4 million. Through the initiative called Decentralized Clinical Operations for Healthcare and Research, or DCOR, Allucent is tasked with creating a future state ecosystem to support clinical care and research in the context of future health emergencies like the pandemic, Allucent CEO Mark Goldberg says. What's involved in the project will be select, analyze, assemble, and evaluate the pieces of the puzzle that need to come together, working with different industry players to create a comprehensive, decentralized solution, Goldberg says. Allucent will look at tools that could be used in decentralized clinical trials and how to ensure that large numbers of diverse patients can rapidly be recruited to participate in studies. And finally, Science Corporation to add more jobs for Durham operations. A high-tech company founded by the former president of Elon Musk's Neuralink is expanding in Durham. Science Corporation is investing $65 million to expand into a 57,000-square-foot facility on TW Alexander Drive. The company plans to add more than 50 new jobs in Durham over the next few years. Science is led by CEO Max Hodak, who founded it in 2021 after previously serving as president of Neuralink, the brain-computer interface company founded by Musk. Science has a laboratory and headquarters in Alameda, California. Cara Zapatelli, who has been with the company since its beginning, describes Science as a brain-machine interface company. She says it is focused on developing implant devices to treat different unmet medical needs. Science has two products in different stages of development, both focused in the retinal space. These are visual prostheses that are being designed to restore vision to people who have lost their sight. It has 22 employees in Durham, The Durham County Board of Commissioners has approved a 10-year, $930,000 incentives award for the expansion. And now in the big number sections that are usually sprinkled throughout, we have one big number in this edition, 95. The number of townhomes proposed for land near Briar Creek and Research Triangle Park by Prophet Dixon Partners. The Charlotte firm wants to change the zoning to residential suburban multifamily from commercial center. The property is 12.78 acres and includes 1801, 1803, 1807, 1809, and 1811 Strauss Drive. And we have a few quotables in this edition. The first one is from Bowie Bowls owner Derek Sharp on three locations in the works for his food truck business. The rent at Morgan Street Food Hall in Raleigh is $2,900 per month. Morgan Street was going to give that proof of concept that the permanent locations will work just as well as the food trucks did and have. And so that was the future. Next, we have Katie Hamilton, Director of Design at Gander Development, on a rezoning application for 237 homes at 5900 Duncan Cook Road near Holly Springs. When we started looking at opportunities in Holly Springs, this one felt like a good spot for us to start with a project that is friendly in nature. And we'll end today with a note from our cover story concerning North Carolina Life Sciences jobs. While North Carolina is a growing hub for life sciences, most of the jobs in the state are primarily focused on manufacturing. The state lacks the types of operational roles, including company leadership, seen in places like Boston and New Jersey. The breakdown is production and manufacturing, 48.6% of the jobs, contract research and testing, 32.9%, research and development, 17.2%, and sales and operations, 1.4%. And we'll go ahead and stop there as we've run out of time for today's episode. I hope you enjoyed it. I'm Derek Frost, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. The Triangle Business Journal is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. And if you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. So long until next time, and thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.